Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Wanted to do this episode to talk about expectations, to talk about the expectations I sort of have for myself, my work, my message, this channel, the expectations that you have for me and yourself, and then maybe how all those fit together going forward. And of course, the way that I like to break topics down is I like to introduce ideas and then just give you some questions to think about in your own life to see where some of these concepts and ideas, they might be playing a role in your own experience. Because one of the things that I am slowly coming to terms with is the idea that expectations are one of the most subtle forms of self-sabotage that we have available to us in modern culture, and one that we use quite often. And it's not so straightforward why it is self-sabotage or why it would be considered to be so. And I think, of course, nobody explicitly sabotages self unless you're really fighting some demons. Most of the time, when we do ruin something for ourselves, it's because we don't know why it happened or where it came from, or we don't understand the unconscious motivation that's driving from the backseat. And you might think about yourself and say, well, why wouldn't I have expectations for my life, right? And I think in some sense, you should have expectations for yourself because you want to have a standard to which you live your life at. And that standard is the thing that all of the things that get to come into your life get weighed by, right? So does that make sense? If you have friends or girlfriends or boyfriends or, you know, partners, there's a standard, a level of expectation that you have for yourself and the people that are in your life and in your economy, and they get filtered through that. And that's what good boundaries do, right? They keep people that don't meet those standards outside of your lives. And so that's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about expectations for experiences that we have. So one of the things that's causing me to wrestle with this in my own life is the fact that I just put out a new audiobook. My second book, Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, is now available on Audible. And if you are interested in that, I will link it up in the show notes of this episode. And I've actually taken the hard copy down from Amazon and from other retail sellers. I'm engaged in a rewriting, sort of deep edit process, because I found that the ideas in that book, there was just more I had to offer those ideas. And so I'm working through those, and I'll release the hard copy again in the fall. And of course, you guys will be up to date with all of that. But as I released the audiobook, the thing I did that day is I actually went into the mountains and I rode my bike up Keystone Mountain. And one of the things I vowed to do is to go on adventures on release days, because if I don't, what happens is I start to place expectations on how the work is received, right? So, you know, you could imagine that even as I do this podcast, I'm very aware of the metrics, right? I'm very aware of how many people are listening and how many people are sharing it on Instagram. And I've watched that ebb and flow. And sometimes it's hard to get an idea on why it is. Sometimes there's a turning over of the audience as my ideas sort of evolve. And, you know, not everybody is down to take the plunge into the so-called spiritual realm or the transcendent realm that I'm increasingly drawn to, so I understand there's a flux that happens. But if I create something for the world, you know, that in itself, and for you guys that are creators or have some kind of work that really inspires you, right? I think at the end of the day, it's not about creativity, it's about doing work that inspires you. And this work really, really inspires me. And I mean that to be very literal, it breathes life back in into me. So I get a reciprocal energy, no matter how much energy I give to these things, right? Because I've fought with this book, like really, truly for years now, across different countries, and even to make the decision to reopen it, re-edit it, and still make it what I want, right? So it's very much a labor of love in that way. Well, one of the surefire ways to get something that inspires you to stop inspiring you, first of all, is to have expectations of how that thing will be received, right? Because the gift of the work you do, if you do work that inspires you, the gift of that work is that you get to be inspired. You get to live differently. You know, you can look out in the world and you see these people that are engaged in the 9-to-5 hustle and they're doing the noble thing and they're making money for their family, but they just don't know why they're here, you know? And for those of us that get to engage in meaningful occupations, we are delivered from that meaninglessness, but we will sink right back into it if we try to make our work be something it's not. And so I've had to release my work from the need to validate me. And so perhaps if you have work that you do that you found identity in, I know in the military it was very much the same thing, right? I found my identity in that work, and many people do because, look, the country celebrates it, and it's an act of service, teachers, all of these people, right? You have all this identity. But I'm hoping that there's a reason you do it that's deeper than identity, you know, that's deeper than material. Because if material can give it, material can take it. And so one of the things that happens, and I'll use my work as an ongoing example here, is if I have expectations of how you're going to receive my work, you know, one of the things that happens is now I'm making this work not for the love of the thing, right? And that's what meaning gives us. It gives us love. Like, we get to engage in a life that we love, and that's what gives you the subjective sense of meaning. And so if I stop doing it for the love and I start doing it because I want you to react a certain way to it, or I want it to, you know, I want a certain amount of people to buy it or engage with it, right? You can see I'm slowly departing from the actual reason that I'm doing it, the reason that it breathes life back into me. And so that's one way that if I put expectations on it and I'm not careful, it will crush the thing. Because this is the truth in today's episode that I want to impart to you, which is if you put expectations on something above and beyond what they already are, there's no structure capable of withstanding the weight of those expectations. I learned this at a really early age, actually, when I was like 19 years old and my sort of high school sweetheart, kind of like going back and forth, you know, that like break up, go out again sort of phase. And I realized I was happy when we were together, and then I was unhappy when we were fighting. And so I realized, like, oh, I have put the pressure for me to be happy on this human being, this other person. And I don't even know how I sort of came to that realization at 19 years old, but I did. And it's something I've been really cognizant about my entire life. But I see it happen all the time for people, right? They're really happy if they're in a relationship and they're, or things are going well in that relationship. And then maybe if the person, if it's a back again, forth again kind of thing, if the person is exhibiting the behavior that they don't like, then all of a sudden now they're all of a sudden in a rut, right? Because if it can be given, it can be taken, right? And so if you put the expectation for your happiness on your relationships, it's going to crush the relationships, because again, no structure can withstand the weight that expectations place on it. Another way that you might think about this is with the roles of your family, right? This is a way we place expectations and we don't even know we're doing it, right? Because we were born into the world with a certain family system, whatever that is for you. And so you have caretakers and you have siblings, and you find where you fit within that sort of family dynamic, that family system. Well, the thing to understand is, like, all of these are just roles. And roles, as we get older, we have to evolve, we have to transcend our roles, right? We transcend and include, and I'll explain what that means, but we have to move through the roles that we have. And so if you're an adult, right, and you haven't released your parents from that need to keep you safe or to validate you, if you haven't pulled yourself out of that child role, then what's going to happen is you're going to be stuck in this sort of relationship that can't mature any further past what it was when you were a kid, right? And so you see that quite often. And I think that relationships that do tend to prosper as people get older, it's because you know, you can come to the realization that that role served you at one point, but it no longer does. You don't need it to. And if you place the pressure or the expectation of that role to continue what it's been doing your entire life, it crushes the relationship, you know? And you see that because people become super resentful of the parents that don't allow them to go out and get hurt and prosper, right? The parent that always has to take care of you. And this is equal part the parent's fault, right? And equal part the kid's fault. I couldn't, you know, you bring someone into this world and you have this increased capacity to love this human being, you're gonna make decisions that are gonna wanna keep them safe. That's how this life thing works. That's how love works, right? And so you have to do yourself a favor and pull your head out from this little scenario and see, well, what's going to help the long-term prosperity of this human being? And that is almost always to allow them to just go out and fail, right? Because that's what this life is. You have to go out and fuck things up. And so you want to release your parents and your family from the pressure of having to keep you safe or having to have the answers from you. You want to release your job from having the expectation to validate your existence. I think in some ways we're running around trying to get the ego to do what the soul is here for, right? And because you're here for something. There's a reason that you're moving through this world in this way. There's a reason that everything has been placed in your life exactly as it is. Now, you might not know the reason, but you might not have to know, right? You might just have to know the next step. And oftentimes, what you find over time is as you continue to take the next step and you have faith that the step will actually be there as you transcend these roles, because that's the thing to know, right? You transcend your own expectations, life gets scary, right? You understand, and this is, I think, why we often have expectations, because we're like, okay, we look out in the world, we figure out what constitutes a good way to be here? What constitutes success in my life, right? And so we form all of these comparative measures that end up robbing us of our happiness over time. But that gives us a map. Well, to transcend that map, you're now stepping into the unknown, right? And so that's scary. And we're talking in the 12 Rules for Life book club that Danielle and I are doing, how really what the human's called to do, like our most profound senses of meaning come when we are straddling the domains of order and chaos. So we want to be rooted firmly in what we understand in the life that we have. And we also need to be constantly exploring what we don't know. Because if we stay in order too long, we become stagnant. And if we jump into chaos too much, then obviously that's its own kind of evil, right? And so chaos kind of will overcome and overwhelm and drown you. And so you want to stay in that, like, right, that point right in the middle. But I think in order to do that, you've got to look around at your expectations and start releasing them, right? The world, you know, one thing that happens, unfortunately, with our expectations is that we put the world in a position now where it can let us down. Now, understand that the universe, think about how magnificently complex the cosmos must be for us to be here, right? We're talking about billions of years, right? We're talking about stars coalescing and exploding. We're talking about primordial chaos giving way to consciousness, right? And so here we are, we're conscious, we're aware that we're aware, and we can do anything with this experience. And so we have to take that, right? So to take that picture and place expectations on what we want it to be, we put this grand cosmos, this incredible span of time, in a position where it can let us down. Right? So you got to understand the lunacy of that. And I've quite often asked myself, like, why is it that the wisdom traditions are so preoccupied with this? And they are, right? So in Christianity, Jesus says, unless you have the mind of a child, right? Unless, then you're not going to reach the kingdom of heaven. And you have to understand, like, the mind of a child meets things with awe and reverence, right? You meet your world when you have an expectation. So it can only be good if it turns out this way. It'll only be good if they love me in this way. It'll only be good if I make this amount of money. That's not reverence. You understand? That's not awe. That's not a respect for the infinite mystery that is your life unfolding in front of you. Right? And so you meet it with reverence and it starts to change the way that you're actually experiencing the world in the first place. Now, Buddha, he said the same thing, but he called it no mind, right? So his meditation practice was really about the idea of letting go. We've been talking about this whole time, releasing all of your attachments. And so one of the foundational truths to Buddhism is that the suffering often in our life occurs from us being attached to things, right? We can't let it go. Well, I'll tell you that one of the most subtle ways that we sabotage ourselves is we are absolutely attached to our expectations of what should happen in this life. Again, most of the time, what we're actually doing is we're asking the ego, this personality that is you, that's moving through the world, to do the job of the soul. And those are different, you know? But the thing to understand, I wrote about this in Vicious Heroes and Heartache a little bit, you'll know what I mean if you read the book, but the idea that your soul is content to sit back and watch you make a mess of things, you know? It really is, because there's no time, like, your ego is bound by time, okay? It's a personality structure that exists in time and space, and so it's material. So it feels a sense of, oh, I gotta do it, and I gotta do it now. And so your ego will go all the way through the world, throwing expectations on people, projecting things, trying to achieve things, right? And your ego your soul is content to just sit back and watch the show. So it'll give you nudges though, right? And that's what'll happen over time. It'll give you more and more nudges. And that's what rock bottom is, right? Rock bottom is, I just used my ego to navigate the world and it landed me here. Now what? Now it's time for soul work. That's what rock bottom opens you up to, right? It strips away all of the parts of your life that aren't working for you and opens it up to unlimited possibility. Now understand that unlimited possibility means that from that potential, right? Potential is chaos, you know, until you manifest it, then it's order. And so, you know, there's a line in the Bible that says humans are made in God's image. And I think that one of the reasons that we are is because we have the thing that extracts order out of chaos. And so you think, okay, so you drop your expectations and that puts you into this position in life where everything that could unfold in front of you is mystery. Now you see the need for faith right now, right? Because it's like, okay, well, you're stepping into mystery. But you're also stepping into something that could absolutely kill you, right? Your ego, which is bound by time and space, which knows it's going to die, tends to fill the unknown with everything that could hurt you, right? And so how does it correct for that? Well, expectations. It says, well, I need it to be this way. It should be this way. I've experienced the world this way. Things are supposed to happen like this way. And in there, we see all these other sort of, you know, unfortunate personality traits creep in, like entitlement, for example. Like I expect a result that I'm entitled to. And that's the way we decide to navigate the world. Well, we're not open to mystery, right? We're not open to potential. Okay, so let's go back to the edge of your life right now. You are constantly staring into complete mystery. You try to change it by ordering it through expectation, and that's the wrong way to order it, right? You want to start with yourself and work your way out. And so what you want to do is you want to order your ability to deal with chaos, right? You want to order your creative ability to go and create your actual life, right? Most of us, we wait for life to come to us and we try to like take good opportunities and stuff, and fair enough. But there's another way to be too, right? And that's an offensive way to be. We don't have to wait for, we can go to, you know? And there's patience in that, because you go to something, you create it, and then you gotta sit back and wait. Well, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen when I launch this podcast? What's gonna happen when I get out of the military and I try to be a writer? What's gonna happen when I write a book and it's not the book I envisioned that I was gonna write before I get out of the military? You know, what's gonna happen when I start my podcast? It starts making me almost $300 an episode, and then I decide that the most important thing for me to talk about is the spiritual formation of my followers. What's going to happen? I don't know. So we take a step back and we watch the mystery unfold in front of us. And in that process, what we realize is that we were always exactly where we were supposed to be. Right? And you have to understand, like I look back at all of the mistakes, right? And there's a lot. Like I am a deeply flawed human being. I've screwed up a ton of things. My ego has chased money and girls and validation. I've expected my life to validate my existence. Like I have erred in all of the ways that a human can err, truly. And in that, I look back and I realize, but I couldn't have got here any other way. I couldn't have known what I know any other way. Now, if that doesn't make you look at the entire mystery and think that there's got to be some benevolent force, that's the question you should grapple with, right? I'm not even actually interested in having the "does God exist" kind of conversation. I think it's what I'm starting to realize is it's actually more productive to realize that God comes to you disguised as your life. That actually that's what's happening,
But you can call it whatever you want, right? You don't have to call it God. It'll meet you where you're at. So call it whatever you want. But understand that this great mystery that's unfolding, you know, it's going to be fine without your expectations of what it's supposed to be. And in fact, because you are a finite creature with finite awareness, right? And this is what differentiates us from our soul, for example, right? Something that's disembodied. We're embodied, so we're closed in. You know, and you can think about, I really like the explanation of genie, right? So genie and genius have the same root word. And the idea is that you're sort of bound, that your genius is bound in this mind of yours, which is very finite, right? So this great big genie with the ability to transform the world and make any wish possible is also bound tightly in this little lamp, right? And it's only by doing the right things and asking the right questions that you get this genius to manifest. And what's even crazier is if you ask it the wrong questions, it'll probably ruin your life. Because you probably have genius that you're not even aware of. You have power that you're not even aware of. Right? And so if you approach that haphazardly, you find yourself in rock bottom. Right? But I think, again, the genius part or the... Not even the genius part, the part that just makes it okay, you know, that makes all the pain that you're going to go through actually worth it, is to realize the entire time it's been fine, because you couldn't get here any other way. Despite all of your expectations for what's supposed to be, it still works out, and it's going to. And so you think back to this finite encapsulation of your own genius. What that means is that you don't have the ability to comprehend all of the incredible ways that the mystery in front of you might unfold. It means you're limited by the world you've gone through, by the experiences you've had, right? And so you're limited by what you've seen and witnessed in the world. And so but if you want to continue climbing, if you want to continue, you know, boundlessness and mystery and freedom and love, those are all in front of you. They're not behind you. They're not based on the world you've been through. They're based on the world you're stepping into. And so if you drop all of your expectations, if you get what the Buddha called the no mind, or what Christ called the mind of a child, if you can meet life in that place, I think what you'll find is it's far better than you, with your finite genius, could have ever imagined, could have ever comprehended. Now, the one thing I'll say to this, the one thing I want to help you understand here is that childlike and childish are not the same. Because this is somewhere, I know that's cliche and probably heard it before, but I've gotten stuck in this world, right? Because, you know, something happens when you open yourself up to the world. You become raw and vulnerable in a way that is deeply uncomfortable for any biological organism that knows it could die, right? At the base root of that limbic system, that's what's going on there. You open yourself up to this world, you realize, man, not only am I a vulnerable creature, but I come from a long line of vulnerable creatures. And so you meet that, and you have a couple of different options, okay? So the first option is that you don't even try. You just stay closed, right? And I think cynicism, in a lot of ways, you know, I always talk about how cynical, how it's kind of the intellectually lazy answer to life sometimes, but it's also survival, and I've fallen into it because I've witnessed a super brutal world in my short life. You know, and so I've fallen into cynicism, so I do understand it. So that's one way that we deal with it. You know, and in that, we've got to try to find a way to open back up to the mystery in some way. Otherwise, you close yourself off to the unfolding, you know, and the unfolding, remember, boundlessness, love, freedom, that's all in front of you, not behind you. So if you close yourself off to it, you don't get to it. So you bar yourself from it in some way. And that's kind of come into my consciousness over and over in the last couple of weeks. I think about it. It's like I keep hearing this idea that we can be surrounded by goodness in every direction and completely unable to access it. One of the ways is because we don't allow ourselves to. We write it off. That's what cynicism is. We write the life off, right? We write the world off, the unfolding. You know, and then the other way to deal with it is kind of what I did, because I recognize, so you open up to the world, right? So get out of the military, you open up to the world, and you start to realize, there's something to this, right? I'm starting to experience my life in a deeper way. I'm starting to feel connected to things in a deeper way that feels like there's a sense of meaning, and you always want to go toward meaning, right? Because that's your map. That's your map in this life. Without meaning, we fall apart super quick. So you start opening up and you start getting a more profound sense of meaning, and then you open yourself and then you realize,
oh, but hey, that malevolent world that you witnessed that made you cynical in the first place, it's still fucking there. It's still out there. People are still dying. People are still getting hurt. The Holocaust is a real thing that happened to millions of people. People die all the time. One of the things that I have grown into in the last, I don't know, one of the things I've grown into in the last couple months is I've started recounting history a lot, and I'm on another show, I'll talk about this, but I'm starting to do another history podcast. I'm super excited about it. But one of the things I realized, like 2020 is bullshit. It's crazy right now. But it's always been like this, you know? The world has always been nuts. People have always been killing each other for far less than people are dying for now. You know, so in a lot of ways, we've improved, even if we are in some sort of chaotic madness. So a little perspective helps you go a long way. But you know, so you open up and you realize that that's possible, you know? And I think that, you know, what I realized is I had these expectations, and this is why I did the show. I had these expectations that life was, you know, because I do love the mystery, and I do love, and I do love freedom, and I do love these things. And so I began to get this expectation that that was my birthright, that only the good was my birthright. And as I open, it's like, so I'm stuck in this world where I'm starting to open, because I want to experience life and I want meaning in this way. And at the same time, I'm realizing how brutal and selfish and awful the world can be. And so often, if we don't get cynical, we go the other direction. We get high, right? And so that's what I did. I'm like, let me get away from this existence, right? And let me just make my world what I want it to be. And so that's what I did. So I just got high, right? And I start to only focus on things that I enjoy. It's like you can change the channel in some way, right? And so that's what I did. And I start to cultivate the life that I want based on happiness, right? This is why happiness is such a terrible goal, right? It's a good byproduct of meaning as it happens, but it's a terrible goal because it becomes elusive. So I set happiness up as my goal. And so instead of going down, I go up. So I get more high and I just try to orient my world around that. And then what happens is the world comes in, the real world keeps knocking, friends die. You know, people go through unimaginable heartache all around me. I'm learning about history and I'm learning about just like the absolute persecution of random people for their beliefs all throughout history. And the whole time I'm like trying to manufacture this happy world and I'm not realizing it is my own expectation that it's supposed to be that way that is keeping me in hell because the real world is knocking constantly. And so as it knocks, I'm trying to fend it off, and now I get to this point where my heart just feels like it's breaking and it's opening in some weird way and I can't contend with it. And that's why I did this show, because I realized that it was my expectations for how this life was supposed to be. Good, bad, happy, sad, whatever, that was killing my joy. And it's so short, you know? And that's the thing about to understand. It's like it's such a short thing and then it's gone. You know, I like think back to my best friends, like they're gone. They were here and now they're not. And that's gonna be me too, and that's gonna be you. And so while you're here, understand that it is your expectations that keep you from experiencing the joy and the mystery and the love that is directly in front of you. That's been my experience anyway. I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing weekend. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.